When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today, SportsGrid.com, Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We are on the air, and welcome to the show. Thanks for watching. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid, getting you ready to go through everything happening in the world of fantasy sports as we touch on the NBA, touch on Major League Baseball. We're going to preview some games coming up a little bit later today. Also, another big golf tournament, RBC Heritage, coming up, so we'll have some picks for that as well from Davis. As we get closer to another golf weekend and day baseball today, Davis, as well. So we'll get you ready on the DFS side as well.
Yeah, super exciting day. I know that a lot of people are coming down off the highs of the Masters, but you know, a lot of these mid-season golf tournaments are pretty great to watch for me. It's very casual Saturday, Sunday afternoon viewing. We have Angels Day baseball, so we have lots of good stuff coming, lots of good stuff for us to talk about for sure.
All right, so let's get right to it. Here are our headlines. Multiple teams have decided to skip voluntary OTAs. Not a huge deal for the NFL, but as we get closer and closer, you have to wonder if we're headed toward another sort of preseason, which there wasn't one last year. We'll find out soon. Jason Tatum still feeling post-COVID effects, uses an inhaler before every game. It's been a rough season for him for sure. Mets ended up sweeping a doubleheader against the Phillies yesterday, and Marcus Stroman had a nice game for them after throwing just a few pitches on Sunday. Last night's pitching matchup turned out to be everything we thought it would be, which is rare. Lucas Giolito and Shane Bieber both had everything going last night in Chicago. Two stellar performances. So did Trevor Bauer. Everybody that we talked about pretty much did well except for Blake Snell. And then Shohei Ohtani, another big blast, goes deep again. Looking toward this weekend, Davis, it looks like he's going to end up at least attempting to make his next start. But there's no doubt he's off to the start that we've been waiting for. It's kind of rare when you have this sort of player who was as popular or more popular than any player going into the season 3 years ago, and now doesn't even seem to be getting enough attention for the things that everyone expected him to do. I guess it's because it took 3 years, but now he's doing everything we thought.
Yeah, I mean, that what you're saying is so interesting, because in 2018, Shohei Ohtani was, you know, he was on SportsCenter, he was going very high in fantasy baseball drafts, everyone was talking about him, and he's doing it. We are in the middle of Ohtani doing it. He's stealing bases. He's hitting home runs. I tweeted out the clip of him last night beating out a ground ball to the shortstop. I mean, just elite sprint speed, just crazy stuff is coming from Ohtani. Now, granted, he's only made one start. He threw 4 2/3 innings and got his ankle stomped on at home plate as a result of a weird play there. I read that his next start is coming, I believe, on next Tuesday. 4/20 was the day they said he was going to start. Now, that might have just been them saying he is going to start. Maybe he does end up starting this Sunday. But I think that This is my current calculation for him, Craig. If he keeps hitting like this, right, 30 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 280 batting average, and my number is 15 starts. If he gets 15 starts in and is good in those starts, it's inarguable he wins MVP. So I think the number is 15 starts for him.
Yeah, but I mean, but 12 or 13 have to be really good too. And if they're anything like the first one, then yes, I think that he's got a great shot of that. But that still has to happen. But Davis, the dynamic that is more interesting, let me go back to it again. Like, why is nobody talking about this? I thought this was the entire plan from a couple of years ago. And look, maybe it's just early in the season and people just haven't gravitated to it yet. Maybe it's Angel syndrome. I know Trout has been a part of that for many years. But when you have a player that's doing what he's doing and you expected him to do it and he lives up to it, maybe people just aren't buying it. Maybe the last couple of years, people are just like, I'll wait till the end of the year to make sure this actually happens. Like, that's got to be the take. I don't know what else it could be.
Well, I mean, part of it, and we never like to admit this, it totally is East Coast bias, right? They play on the West Coast, and they, you know, there are not a ton of nationally televised baseball games just in general. Like, generally, it's Sunday Night Baseball is kind of the one that a casual viewer will watch. But if you want to watch Ohtani, you pretty much have to have the MLB TV package, which I do. But how many people do you think have the MLB TV package? I mean, maybe 2 million people in the United States pay for the MLB TV package. And that even seems high to me. And I understand that I'm in the minority there. And then also it's the what have you done for me lately. He was the hot story in 2018, banged up in 2019, so he didn't pitch, and then was bad last year. So I get it, but he will be a household name by the end of this season, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. All-Star game would be a nice big thing if he was able to get in that. Home Run Derby, Davis, would be a nice big thing. And let me tell you, if Major League Baseball was smart, I don't think it would matter how many home runs Ohtani hit. He should be in that thing in Coors. I mean,
big time.
It goes without that. Yeah, he's got to put him in there. All right, coming up next, including Ohtani, we'll have our Major League Baseball fantasy standouts. We had a player last night drive in 7 runs, so we'll get to that coming up. Also in the NBA, the number one overall pick in the draft has had a really nice couple of months, but what he said after the game is actually a little bit more interesting than some of the playing, and we'll dive into this a little bit more as well. Preview the RBC Heritage, as we talked about, Fantasy Reality, Sports Grid 60. Our show is off and running here on this Wednesday, so hopefully you'll stick around. Don't forget to make sure that you check out our YouTube page where we post all of our videos, every single show, from the early line to the morning after to us, Scott Farrell. All of our shows are over on our YouTube page. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Make sure you stay on the grid. We're 2 minutes away from our fantasy standouts from Tuesday night. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time to run through the NBA on Tuesday night. New names into our fantasy standouts. If you played in DFS last night, you had to pick the right options, that's for sure, based on some of these names. Let's dive into it. We'll bring in our producer, Brett Levy, as well. Jason Tatum, as we mentioned, struggling physically, but performing, no doubt. 32 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Lu Dort, we know Davis is happy about this one. 42 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals. Paul George came up big. 36 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. Pascal Siakam, 36, 7, and 2. So a 50-point night for Siakam. And then Anthony Edwards, who we're going to get to from the Timberwolves here in just a second. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. But Davis, you got a Lu Dort appearance here on the show today. I know you're excited about that.
I have been waiting for it. Brent has been shortchanging my guy. He shortchanged Pokusevski. You know, we were just waiting to get Dort in. Career night, you know, got over 60 points on FanDuel. I had some great DFS teams going last night. Not able to take down first in anything, but Dort, great night. Had, you know, some good performances. You know who was the anchor in a bad sense for me last night was Andre Drummond. Didn't even get to a double-double against the Charlotte Reserves. Pretty embarrassing stuff. The Lakers finding out the hard way that Andre Drummond is not going to be an engine to winning. But 28 shot attempts, I think, last night for Lu Dort. You know, just kind of getting handed the keys to the offense now without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So there's a tip for you guys moving forward. Dort is basically playing point guard for the Thunder right now.
Brad, he's calling you out there a little bit. I don't know how you feel about that.
I'm a big Lu Dort fan. He was a really good scorer in his 1 year at Arizona State. He's obviously known in the NBA for his defensive abilities, but I was surprised when he went undrafted, and he obviously made an impact as a two-way player for OKC, and they extended him in the bubble, and now he's an impact starter and part of their future. So he's a guy that I think we can all root for, Craig. He's a grinder, and he's kind of earning his way and his keep in the league.
Brett, before we get to our fantasy standouts in baseball, I want your opinion and then Davis's as well. Anthony Edwards post-game yesterday, when was asked about Alex Rodriguez potentially buying the team, basically said, I don't know anything about baseball, and he didn't know who Alex Rodriguez is. A video was posted about a month ago previous to that where Edwards was interviewed, asked about playing baseball, and said that he used to bat cleanup and made all these funny comments. He played shortstop. He played the outfield. Point blank, Davis and Brett. I'll start with Brett. Brett, are you buying this? Do you believe that Anthony Edwards does not know who Alex Rodriguez is?
You know, I think there's some truth in it. We were, you know, messing with our guy Davis, who, you know, we make fun of for not always knowing everything in baseball history. We were questioning if he knew who Alex Rodriguez was, the baseball player. But me, growing up in New York, I remember that Alfonso Soriano trade vividly. I remember that left side of the infield with Jeter and A-Rod vividly. I remember when the Yankees won that championship with A-Rod. So I absolutely know who A-Rod is. But, you know, maybe growing up in Georgia, not necessarily Yankees territory, maybe you don't know who he is. Anthony Edwards is 18 years old. And, you know, he's a pro basketball player. So I'm sure he was watching a lot more hoops as a younger kid.
Yeah, I mean, Davis, look, I'll buy some of this. But, I mean, A-Rod is still a popular figure now. So that's kind of the struggle that I'm having here with this. Like, I can buy that he's never seen him play a single game, but it is, and it's kind of, I guess the whole thing is just odd to me. I mean, the guy plays for the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are in the news for this guy potentially buying the team, and it's almost, it seems like he wasn't even aware of that either. I don't know. Maybe it is all valid, and he just is just indifferent to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not into baseball, I don't really know when you would interface with Alex Rodriguez, because it's not like he is on broadcasts for other sports. You know, when Alex Rodriguez is on TV, he's talking about baseball. He is being a baseball pundit. And, you know, I mean, we talk about this on the show. Baseball is popular in local regions and local markets, and it's popular amongst older, you know, the greatest generation, the boomer generation, still loves baseball. But like, my buddies, my friends, they do not care about baseball. They know the players on the Royals, and will go to a game a couple times a year, you know, but they like, for example, they probably wouldn't know who Lucas Giolito is, who is like a great pitcher, a Cy Young candidate. You know what I mean?
I understand. But here, I guess here's my point. Do you think that if Anthony Edwards was asked who Jennifer Lopez is, he would know? Just curious. Do you think he would know? I'm legitimately asking.
100%. Yeah, she was in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay, so and then if a follow-up was asked, do you know who she used to be engaged to be married to? Do you think he would have a clue on that or no? Like, it's not collateral damage on that question.
No,
I
would say no. Yeah, I would say no.
Okay.
He wouldn't know that.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I'm not trying to call the guy out. It seems crazy to me. On a lot of different levels. Maybe the most important level is that you're an NBA player and there's someone that's talked about potentially buying your team, and No clue. I guess I don't know. What am I going to tell you? All right. Baseball's fantasy standouts from last night. Adam Duvall of the Marlins had the biggest night of all. 4 for 5, 2 home runs, 7 runs driven in, 4 runs. The guy gets super hot. My advice in fantasy and DFS, play him every day until it's over. So that's my advice. And it's going to end soon, but next couple days, play him. Wilson Ramos, who's actually had a pretty nice start to his season, surprisingly. 2 home runs, 3 runs driven in, and 2 runs scored. Lucas Giolito, 7 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, 2 walks. The problem is he went against Shane Bieber, who threw a shutout. 9 innings pitched, no one runs, 11 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 walk, and he picked up the win. And then Trevor Bauer was also masterful yesterday. 7 innings pitched, no one runs, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, and rare to see 2 really good pitchers get a win yesterday. Big hitter, though, yesterday, no doubt, was Miami's Adam Duvall, who was off to a slow start. But as it turns out, since 2020, nobody in baseball has more home runs than Duvall, who said last night it took just a couple of days for him to start to get going.
This game's funny. It's just a matter of time. If you just keep going out there, you keep swinging, keep working, things happen. And, tonight they happened. It was, I was seeing the ball well and I felt like I was, in control at the plate. So, that's a good feeling.
Davis, the dynamic is always trying to figure out who these guys are. Like, who are the other Duvalls in the league that you know that in DFS they're going to be underpriced and you can ride them for like 3 or 4 days and then you have to stop? Like, I think Tommy Pham is another one of those on the Padres. Like, Pham is going to get really hot at some point. He's going to look like the best player in the league and then it's just going to stop. It's just not easy to figure out, though, who those guys are.
Yeah, Randall Grichuk for the Blue Jays, another one of those guys, righty, power bat. I mean, just in general, good DFS advice is when you're filling out your lineups, we do our stacks on FanDuel. We go 4 guys from one team, try and get in a couple guys from another team, and then you have your fillers. Just in general, good advice. Guys like Adam Duvall, guys like Nomar Mazara, guys like Rougned Odor, who are not great MLB hitters. I mean, in the case of Odor, bad MLB hitters. But on the times where they do succeed, when they are in the lineup, it's all going to be via home run. You're really capitalizing on the times when they do succeed. We're not as big of a fan of guys like, Brian Reynolds for the Pirates, who, hit singles, right? We're not looking for singles. We're looking for home runs. So that's good advice to carry forward.
Well, last night, for sure, that Blue Jays stack definitely worked. Even that guy Palacios had a couple of hits, I think, yesterday, too. So good call there, no doubt. Speaking of calls, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at the DFS pricing for today. Ton of games in baseball and some even in the afternoon. So make sure you stay on the grid with that. That's coming up in just a little bit. Also coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll go through the Mavericks-Grizzlies game tonight against the spread. We'll have a pick there. Our headlines as well, fantasy or reality, plenty more to come. Make sure you stay with us on the grid right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with our DFS picks for today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, David Maddock, those of you who are getting ready to hop on to FanDuel, you've got about 30 minutes, lots of games happening today. I think 6 early games before 3 o'clock Eastern. So we got to get right to this. And not quite the pitchers that we saw on yesterday's slate, but still a couple of good options. So, Davis, let's roll right through it. The most interesting name for sure will be Joe Musgrove, who's coming off pitching a no-hitter. Usually this does not go well after a no-hitter, so I'm curious. You'll get your thoughts, Davis, on that. 11,000. Look, Corbin Burns has been as dominant as anyone. He's at 10,400 today. Zach Wheeler of the Phillies, 9,700. Lance McCullers, 9,500 for Houston. Dustin May is going to get the start. Always a question how deep he'll go, but the Dodgers don't lose. So if he gets five in, he's probably going to win. And then Jake Arrieta of the Cubs, who had a really good first start, but not so sure that we're going to continue to see that. He is priced at 8,800, Davis. So let's talk pitching here on this Wednesday.
Yeah, we have a nice little mix of the early games and the late games here. There's an early slate on FanDuel, an all-day slate, and a late game slate. Musgrove, clearly the cream of the crop for the late slate. Corbin Burns, clearly the cream of the crop for the early slate. Lance McCullers, though, you know, we can only use one starting pitcher on FanDuel. I think McCullers probably gets under-owned in the night slate relative to what his projection will be because, you know, because we're going to have Joe Musgrove there. Joe Musgrove has that matchup against the Pirates. And, you know, coming off a no-hitter, like, he just is going to be absolutely piled on. But we can get McCullers at a discount. And, by the way, the Tigers have not been awful offensively to start the year the way that a lot of the projection system had them. My thinking on that would be just wait. Just zoom out on the chart for the Tigers, and this early season run is definitely going to look, you know, like a bit of a blip. You know, a lot of it is being driven by some early home run performances from Akil Baddoo, Renato Nunez, you know, Miguel Cabrera not in their lineup. But I think that McCullers is going to be my guy I really highlight in the night slate.
Okay, let's move over to first base. We have Freddie Freeman as the highest priced at 4,100 tonight, going back up against Miami. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in Dunedin at 4,100. Rhys Hoskins at 4,000. Eric Hosmer, 3,900. Bellinger, 3,800. And Pete Alonso priced at 3,800. And I think, Davis, at some point, Pete Alonso is going to start going off. Kind of been waiting on that almost a year now, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Mets stink, right? You know, Brett, I know you're not on air right now, but I know you hear that. They are stinking right now. Freddie Freeman.
Today they won yesterday two games.
They did. But I still gotta rip Brett. Freddie Freeman, though, is both our highest projected player and our highest value player for the night slate on FanDuel. I think he is a priority spend. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the guy that you want early. Very interesting. You don't see this very often. Daniel Vogelbach is dead minimum salary in the morning slate against Jake Arrieta. What did we just talk about in the last segment? We want our cheap hitters to be home run guys. Vogelbach, not going to steal bases, doesn't hit singles. You know, literally with Vogelbach is a three true outcomes hitter. He takes walks, he strikes out, or he hits home runs. And so I really like him against Arrieta there in the morning slate. And then Jared Walsh in this morning slate as well, I think is pretty solid.
Yeah, Vogelbach batting second today in the Brewers lineup as well. All right, second base, Whit Merrifield, 4,200 for the Kansas City Royals. Jose Altuve at 3,900. DJ LeMahieu batting at the top of the Yankees lineup, 3,600. Marcus Semien also 3,600. Ryan McMahon 35. Joey Wendell 35 at second base. Nothing tantalizing for me, Davis. Who do you got?
Yeah, nothing crazy here. I mean, a good reminder looking at our projections over on dailyroto.com. This run environment in Dunedin, really just do not overlook it. Guys like Gleyber Torres here in the morning slate, guys like Marcus Semien, you know, we think they are particularly strong. And then in the night slate, we have Ozzie Albies, who I think looks like a pretty strong option. I also think our Dodgers guys who are eligible here, Chris Taylor and Max Muncy, both of them are pretty interesting against John Gray. And then Tommy La Stella leading off against Tyler Molly. He's a guy who, you know, definitely does get overlooked, but I think that against Tyler Molly, pretty good spot for him. And I just have always been a believer in Tommy La Stella.
Just quick correction, by the way, for me, LeMahieu not playing today for the Yankees. Rougned Odor is. So let's go to third base. And Vlad Guerrero's 4,100, Nolan Arenado 3,900, Bregman 38, Jose Ramirez 37, Justin Turner 37, and then Chris Bryant is at 3,600. You want no part of LeMahieu today with him not playing.
Yeah. So at third base, our top options, you know, pretty straightforward for the night slate. Alex Bregman, Manny Machado, Jose Ramirez, those guys are pretty much going to dominate the landscape. You know, I continue to keep playing Yoshi Tsutsugo. The numbers like him. You know, and we, I mean, there, it's possible that we need to start to adjust his baselines. You know, we have him obviously as a relatively skilled Major League Baseball hitter. But again, it really, it's every day. It's 1 for 4, maybe with a double, maybe with a single, you know, but he's not stealing bases. He's not hitting home runs. So, but he's priced down at 2,300 on FanDuel now, has a good matchup against Koji Arihara. You know, I it's very hard for me. Option for this slate, I think at night, is Kyle Seager going to be in the 3 or the 4 hole? And I know Matt Harvey hasn't really blown up yet, but just trust, guys, trust me. Matt Harvey is going to have an 8 earned run start here at some point, and you're going to want to be on it. By the way, Ty France hit another home run.
I was going to mention
coming.
That.
The Ty France train, it's coming. He can hit. He really can hit.
Yeah, he hit a home run yesterday. That's what I was going to mention next. All right, so over to shortstop we go. Trey Turner leading off for the Nationals stays at 4,100. Bo Bichette, 3,700. Baez batting near the bottom-ish of the lineup of the Cubs, 37. Corey Seager for the Dodgers, 37. Simeon, 36. Francisco Lindor of the Mets is at 3,500 today at shortstop, Davis.
Yeah, so shortstop, much like actual fantasy baseball, this is a position where you are generally wanting to spend. You're generally wanting to play someone like Corey Seager. You're generally wanting to play someone like Carlos Correa. You're generally wanting to play someone like Trey Turner. And not the greatest matchup for Trey Turner today against Adam Wainwright, but he is one of our highest projected players. I think in the early slate, you're probably looking at Gleyber, Bo Bichette as your top options there. And then in the night slate, J.P. Crawford has been getting a good batting order spot sometimes, depending on the handedness of the starting pitcher that the Mariners are facing. If he does get a good lineup spot, he is priced down at $2,200 against the aforementioned Matt Harvey. Ha-Sung Kim in the night slate, if he is able to get up to 2, which I think they have done once now. You know, again, I'm wanting to buy on Ha-Sung Kim as much as possible. Was not able to get him in a ton of fantasy drafts, which is a beautiful thing about daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel. It's guys right. I missed out on in my NFBC drafts. I can buy on them during the regular season during DFS.
All right, let's move over to outfield and seeing a lot of guys in the lineup already today. So Ronald Acuna Jr. likely leading off tonight against Miami. Mookie Betts, who homered yesterday, 4,500. We're waiting on the Angels lineup here. I'm assuming Trout will be in there at Kansas City. 4,500, but we don't have one yet. The game starts in less than 2 hours, so not sure what's going on there. And then Ohtani obviously got to wait on that, too, to make sure he's in. Bryce Harper will play tonight, 4,300 for the Phillies.
Yeah, I wonder, actually, the reason we don't have the Angels lineup yet, I wonder if it's actually Ohtani. I wonder if they are, because he's got that blister he's dealing with right now. So I wonder if they are waiting on confirmation that he is good to DH today, and that is why the lineup is not out. Also, they could be calling someone up. They could be trying to figure out this outfield situation that they're dealing with. You know, we don't really need to see Juan Lagares. Let's go ahead and get Joe Adell up, though. But top options for the night slate, definitely Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts. We do have some good value options in the early slate. Brett Gardner, I know it's Brett Gardner, but he's batting third for the Yankees in Dunedin in the morning slate. Look, guys, I know it's Brett Gardner. But this is Coors of the South, so just treat it accordingly. He is $2,300 on FanDuel. Kyle Tucker, Dylan Moore, Marcelo Zuna, all guys who I think are playable. And then Austin Meadows, who is really – the batting average has not happened for Austin Meadows yet, but the power has been developing as we expected. He's priced up at $3,700. And I think the Rays will actually – get overlooked in the night slate. So I think some of the teams we'll see be very popular for stacks. I think the Phillies against David Peterson, I think the Braves against Nick Neidert, and definitely the Dodgers against John Gray are all going to be fairly popular. So I think looking at the Tampa Bay Rays against Koji Arihara, who again, we don't know a ton about him yet, very small sample, and then we have his stats from the DuPont League. My guess is that he's just a pretty bang average fourth starter at the Major League Baseball level. And the Rays got to hit, right, Craig? Like, the Rays have got to start hitting, at least against right-handed starting pitching. They got to hit.
Yeah, it's been a slow start for them across the board a little bit outside of Glasnow, really. So yesterday, I think it was Yarbrough that got beat up pretty good, too. It hasn't been a great start for them, but we'll see over the course of the long haul. By the way, Rougned Odor, is he like min price today? Minimum price, second baseman?
Yeah.
He can't. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know, right? I mean, he's playing in Dunedin today. It is Kluber. Just an interesting name for me going into this today, for sure. And speaking of which, by the way, pitcher has been scratched from that game for Toronto, Ross Stripling with a forearm issue. That's never good, by the way. So probably injured list stint coming for the Blue Jays, who already have Teoscar Hernandez out and also have George Springer out. But TJ Zoich is going to start today. So we'll preview that game coming up against the spread. Also, we'll take a look at the Nationals and St. Louis Cardinals, in addition to Steven Strasburg, who's off to a tough start. Had some choice words to say about the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast last night, showing him basically working on things, getting ready to come back into the game. So we'll hear from Strasburg coming up next, too, right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yankees and Blue Jays from Dunedin, Florida, in about 30 minutes from now, a half a dozen games this afternoon going on, including the Minnesota Twins, who are going to be missing a couple of players today. One of them is Andrelton Simmons, who was placed on the COVID list, and the Twins are saying that he did test positive for COVID. So, Davis, that will put him out for a minimum of 10 days, hopefully not longer than that, but not much you can do midweek in a fantasy league unless you can get guys in and out of the lineup. Make sure you take him out. We'll see who ends up playing shortstop for the Twins. All right, over to baseball. Speaking of scratches, we have another one here as Ross Stripling is no longer pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays, and TJ Zoich has put in probably three-inning guy, I would guess, today. They're going to have to use the bullpen, so this is dangerous. Yankees and Blue Jays, after Toronto had the big scoring output yesterday, they are now bigger dogs than they thought that they would be going into the day. You could probably get about plus 120 over on FanDuel. Right now the Yankees are minus 130. Corey Kluber makes the start here. Davis, how do you see this one? A dangerous spot for Toronto. They just keep losing guys. Like, I suppose it doesn't matter for fantasy purposes because whoever they plug in is probably going to hit a little bit. But already being down Springer and Teoscar Hernandez and now a starting pitcher, arguably their third or fourth best starting pitcher, not a great April for Toronto, that's for sure.
Yeah, not a great April, but I actually am going to lean on the side of taking Toronto here. So looking at the lineup that the Yankees ran out today, Brett Gardner, number three, Jay Bruce, number six, Rougned Odor, number eight. You know, this is not, this is not their final form. I mean, they don't even have Stanton in the lineup today. Now, on the other side of the coin, the Blue Jays, other than Teoscar Hernandez, have their best hitting lineup out there. They subbed in Josh Palacios for Teoscar Hernandez. He's on the 10-day IL with COVID, but they have Kirk hitting over Danny Jansen. They have Grichuk in there, who I actually think is a super underrated hitter, you know, Biggio, and they actually have Telles at first base instead of at DH. This will be a bullpen game for the Blue Jays. I imagine they'll probably have five pitchers end up going in this game, which is not great in general, but Corey Kluber, velocity down, swing strike rate down in his first start this year. So I kind of want to get on the other side of Kluber, especially in Dunedin where these balls are going to fly. So I want the Blue Jays plus 114 here.
Yeah, I'll take the Yankees today. I just think too many injuries for Toronto, and I would never back a bullpenning game. Not like this. I couldn't do it. Not having Springer is one thing, but the other, we're starting to have too many names out for the Blue Jays. And the names you mentioned are okay for fantasy, but they are not reality guys. I mean, the Blue Jays would rather have Springer in the outfield than any of the other names that they have. It's just they're kind of up against it. So I'll lean New York today. I don't usually like leaning juice, but I think I will. Okay, now last night was really interesting. Before we get to the Nationals Cardinals game, it's been a tough start for Washington. Lost a bunch of guys to COVID at the beginning of the season. They're all back now and they're all playing. but not a ton of wins coming their way, and they're in last place in the National League East. Not to mention last night, tough start for Steven Strasburg, who the Bally's Sports broadcast that broadcast the Cardinals games had video in the tunnel showing Steven Strasburg kind of working on his shoulder. And after the game, Strasburg was not too happy that that went on television.
I think it's a joke, to be honest, that they shoot in the tunnel, because, you know, that's there's got to be some sort of safe place in the stadium. I'm 32 years old. I've been doing this a long time, and you know, there's been plenty of other starts where something's not feeling right, and you know, whether you treat yourself or you have a trainer come treat you. You know, it's just a part of the business. And, you know, I went out there and I gave it everything I had. Wasn't good enough tonight, but, I think there's also like, there should be some sort of privacy, because I think it's just, that's people don't watch the games on TV to watch, you know, some sort of spy camera watching what the player's doing in the tunnel.
Well, Davis, he's upset, obviously, and would it shock you to hear tomorrow that he goes on the injured list? No. I mean, that's just the nature of what's happened to him over the course of his career. Do you think he has any beef there? Do you think that they were out of bounds showing tunnel stuff there? I feel like we've seen stuff like that before, but I don't know. Is there a line for that for you or no?
I mean, I guess I can sympathize with him, right? I mean, I think if I was a professional athlete, I wouldn't want people seeing me, you know, reacting, dealing with injury type stuff. But at the same time, like, pretty much, I guess I would assume if I was a Major League Baseball player, if I was, you know, not at my house or not in an otherwise, you know, a specifically private place, I would just assume people are monitoring what I'm doing. I would assume that if not a camera being on them at all times, that someone would have the ability to report what you were doing, take a picture with their cell phone of what you're doing. Like, and I'm not even saying that's fair. I'm not even saying like, oh, that's what athletes sign up to do when they're kids or when they sign their contract, but that's just kind of the nature of the society we live in. So I sympathize with them, but do I expect anything to change as a result of this? No, I do not.
No, and he was working on his shoulder, it showed, and really did not even discuss it post-game, just kind of said that he was out of sync. But look, you would not be surprised to hear him not make his next start. At least I would not. All right, today, this afternoon, we'll see if the Nationals can get on track here. The Cardinals are a very light favorite. Adam Wainwright against Joe Ross. And the Nationals have most of their hitters back, although I believe Bell is sitting today. Zimmerman is hitting. Ryan Zimmerman, by the way, has been playing for like 20 years and is actually playing at a decent level this year too. Looks pretty good. Seems like an even matchup here because you're really not sure what you're going to get from Wainwright. Washington always has Soto. They have Turner. You can get a little plus money there. Cardinals are tough at home. Which way do you go here?
I mean, the Cardinals are they scored 14 runs last night. Arenado is getting it going. Goldschmidt is getting it going. They don't have Dylan Carlson in the lineup tonight, so they have Justin Williams and Lane Thomas and Edmundo Sosa in. So this is kind of their B team, at least in the bottom half of their order. I mean, you know, all due respect to Yadi Molina, not a number four hitter at this stage of his career. They need to get this figured out sooner rather than later. Schwarber is back for the Nationals. You know, not huge about Starlin Castro, Josh Harrison as 5-6 hitters. And I also hate when teams do this, Craig. Do you hate when teams bat the pitcher eighth and then put the speedy guy 9? I mean, this is very bad for Victor Robles' fantasy value to have him batting 9th behind the pitcher against right-handed starting pitching. Against left-handed starting pitching, they've let him off. But this was always the concern preseason with Robles, was that he would not hit enough to maintain that lineup spot and be able to generate those steals and those runs from the top of the order. I'm going to take St. Louis here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I see it the same way. I'd rather him bat 9th than bat 8th. I think batting 8th is a nightmare for a guy like that who doesn't have great plate discipline. They're going to pitch around him. He's never going to get on. At least he gets an opportunity to get just more runs batting right in front of Turner and Soto and those guys. So, I mean, I guess you could see it both ways, but for me, I hate the eighth guy in the NL. I think it's a recipe for disaster. I hate how they put rookies batting eighth. Like, that's supposed to do them any good.
Oh, that's the worst. Yes.
Yeah. The worst. Just in the NL, by the way. All right. So this afternoon, the Brewers are just huge favorites against the Chicago Cubs. Corbin Burns, we're going to talk about his Cy Young Award chances here coming up, but Corbin Burns goes against Jake Arrieta. I didn't have a really strong opinion on the last game. I don't know if I would lay a run and a half on this one with Milwaukee, but Davis, the Cubs are in real trouble. And you know, we both were not bullish on them at all. Same with Washington, actually. And it seems like this is playing itself out. Like, I don't know what the Cubs really thought they were going to be going into the season. They have this one asset, right, in Chris Bryant that they still refuse to move or can't move for whatever reason. They're rolling Arrieta back out there today. I thought that was probably the least indicative first start for any pitcher in baseball. Arrieta pitched well, and everyone's like, oh, maybe he's back. I mean, come on. You've seen him pitch the last 3 years. He's had an unbelievable career, Cy Young Award winner. But I could see him getting beat up today pretty bad. I want to take Milwaukee. I just don't want to lay 170.
Yeah, I probably would lay the minus 170 here, because the Cubs are exactly what they thought they would be, which is a money printing farm for the ownership group. That's all they care about. The Cubs are about getting money into the ecosystem and spending as little money as possible to get there. You know, Jock hitting number four, good for him. But Eric Sogard batting second, Austin Romine in there, David Bodie in there. I mean, it's not a good Cubs lineup. They don't have Chris Bryant playing today. So Rizzo's in there, but they don't have Wilson Contreras in there. I mean, it's just not a good team. It's just not a good hitting team. No. So what's the point?
No. Nico Horner, probably their best hitter, sitting and not even playing. They have no games in the minor leagues yet. It's crazy. All right, so updated NL Cy Young Award, and I wanted to bring this up because of Burns and just to show everyone where he's at. He was 30-1 to open the year. He's made the biggest jump of anyone, Davis, now at 15-1. Look, it is very hard to fade DeGrom. I mean, that is the reality of where it is at. Bauer is 10-1, Buehler is 10-1, Yu Darvish 12-1, and Nola, who's also off to a good start, 13-1. But I got to tell you, Davis, I'm going to still think that there is some value on Burns. I'm willing to take this list and scratch off everyone except for DeGrom and say that Burns give you the – what's the difference between Burns and everyone else on this list, Davis? Except for DeGrom. I understand. Like, I mean, that's an out-of-this-world guy. But I think that he could be second. And I said last week at 30-1, it was your last shot to get in on that 30. It went to 20. It's 15. Davis, if he shuts down the Cubs and wins today, he will be right next to Bauer and Buehler by tomorrow.
So I think that you are right that 15-1 is good on Corbin Burns right now. But the other name from this list, Trevor Bauer. So there's a couple things there. One, I mean, Bauer mm-hmm. is almost definitely cheating, but they didn't stop him from cheating in his last start. Like, they didn't, like, the Major League Baseball has not forced him to change anything in what he's doing. So and we heard that he was being investigated, so I guess they're gonna let him keep there. I guess they're gonna either let him keep cheating or it's still under investigation and they haven't stopped him from doing it yet. But the big thing with Bauer is the Dodgers are just not concerned about his long-term health. They do not care if he rides out 200 innings this year and is never good again, because they have so much money. All they want is him to do well in the time. And if they owe Trevor Bauer $80 more million and he's terrible, they'll just pay him and they'll replace him with someone else. That's what the Dodgers do. It's what they're all about. And so I think Bauer's going to get a ton of innings. I think he probably has to be a favorite to win the most games of any starting pitcher this year, because he's the Dodgers pitcher who's going to pitch the most innings, and he's good. So if he has 22 wins and DeGrom has 12 and their ERAs and K rates are similar, I think the voters probably give it to Bauer.
It's going to be very fascinating, because as you mentioned, I think the only reason why Bauer is 10-1 and not 6 or 7 is because of what you just illustrated, where if something was to happen and they were to stop him from doing whatever you're alluding to, and no one really knows for sure, that eliminates him, right? Like, all he needs, Davis, if Trevor Bauer is suspended for one start for doing anything wrong, he's not winning the Cy Young. It's done.
Correct.
And they're not going to vote for him. So it's like the odds are baking that in a little bit, I feel like. He should be probably 6-1 or 7-1, but it's like, oh, you take your big shot here and they won't give it. I'll stick with Corbin Burns. I really like the way that he looks. He's got, I mean, a juicy start today at home against the Cubs, and getting to face, hasn't really faced a lot of the aces in baseball. That's going to continue. So Pirates games are coming for him as well. Really like Milwaukee's 1-2. Coming up next, it is our preview of the NBA's game between the Dallas Mavericks and Memphis Grizzlies. I think I said that right. Dallas -2. Who did David like? Tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of the big games tonight in the NBA is Philly and the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm sure Scott Farrell will have a nice preview coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern. Most we know exactly who's playing in that game tonight, but that's probably the marquee game in the NBA with a kind of weird line as we're waiting to figure out who's in and who's out. So let's talk about a game, Davis, that we do know who's in and out. Not the juiciest game on the schedule, but intriguing one because it kind of tells you that these two teams are more or less the same. Maybe Dallas a little bit better than Memphis, and on the road tonight, Luka and company laying 2 points at the Grizzlies, and the total is 225 in a half. Which way do you go?
Yeah, so this is a pretty fascinating game. Should be Dallas at full strength. Chris Stapps should be in. John Morant going to be in. Jonas Valanciunas is going to be in for the Grizzlies. Again, another interesting total here at 225 because these are two teams that do play a little bit slower. I keep waiting for John Morant to start hitting three-point shots, and he isn't. Still below 30% for the year on three-point shots. Not great there. I am, you know, a believer in him and what they have going on in Memphis over the long term. Tonight, though, I am going to take the Mavericks. Mavericks, when they're fully healthy, they are extremely good on offense. They're still a work in progress on defense, but getting healthy. So we are going to take the Mavericks and the points. And actually, I'm going to go the other way. I just said these two teams play slow, but I think the only way Memphis wins is with a three-point barrage. So I'm actually going to go the over on 225 and a half.
Is it possible at all to lean on tonight's Philly game against Brooklyn? Do you have any opinion on that without knowing exactly who's in and out?
Yeah, I would go Philly because I think Durant still is going to be on like a 28, 29 minutes limit. It's going to be, you know, Tyler Johnson and Bruce Brown with the ball.
All right. Well, coming up next, it's time for Chris with the headlines, and then we'll have a preview of the RBC Heritage Tournament, which is up next on the golf circuit. Matthew Friedman is going to join Davis, and they're going to go through some of the possibilities in terms of prop betting at quarterback for the upcoming 2021 NFL draft. So that's where we're at. Hour one is in the books, but we got another hour to go. If you're leaving us, hope you have a great day. But if you can, stick around. We're back with more fantasy sports today in just 2 minutes right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.